In the epistle, St. Peter tells us, be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. But the God of all grace, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Nobody ever said the devil only goes about as a roaring lion. Although Father Ciordia told me the other morning he was on his way to Puebla State to do an exorcism of a demon who was passing back and forth between a mother and a daughter. When he left the one, he would enter into the other, and Father was expecting quite a battle that day. But sometimes Satan seems such a small and a silent spider. A spider distracted me yesterday morning, early before the rain. I was out on my porch, and I meant to meditate on Mary's most pure heart, but there was a spider who had set up shop right at my left elbow, and I got to watching him. He spun his web, and then he disappeared down into the evergreen bush. And sure enough, in a moment, he caught some unaware little bug going about its business. And as soon as he was caught in the web, the spider reappeared. There was a brief skirmish, and then the little bug fell silent. He was done in. Sometimes I think Satan works the same way, preying on victims of sin, our own sins, perhaps, or the sins of another. He silently weaves his web, and then he slips away, but he waits, and he watches, and swiftly returns to claim his victim. This Sacred Heart Sunday, I'm thinking of another kind of victim, the willing victims for sin with Jesus Christ, victim at Calvary, who join with him, St. Peter says, to suffer a little while, to expiate sin and save souls. We call them victim souls. I think I've known one or two in my lifetime. They are mostly women, although Padre Pio was an exception. They're mostly women, I think, because of a woman's strength of soul and her corresponding capacity for suffering, but also because, Bishop Sheen says this, the office of a woman is motherhood. Every woman, in some sense, must be a mother, and some Mary-like are meant to give birth in great pain to souls who will then be saved. They suffer. They suffer silently and sweetly, these souls, such pain, and yet they are at peace. What a price for souls. Every kind of suffering on the shelf, emotional, physical, spiritual pain, sometimes sharp and in so surpassing a degree. Then there's loneliness too, and misunderstandings and darkness and abandonment. Oh, and gossip and slanders, speculation. And they say nothing. That's the difference. They say nothing. They only smile as they suffer for souls. I'm thinking of victim souls this Sunday because one whom I had known years ago came back into my life a couple of weeks ago, one Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, when I was in Milwaukee. Do you know the story of America's only stigmatic? She was a poor French-Canadian immigrant daughter. She was born in 1936 in Rhode Island and died there at the age of 33. Her parents baptized her Marie-Rose Farron. The family called her Rose, and now she is known as Little Rose. Her mother dedicated each one of the children in the family to a mystery of the rosary, and she covered all 15 mysteries. And Little Rose got the crucifixion. When she grew up, she received the stigmata, but also the crown of thorns. Her mother said it looked like two ropes wound around her head. And she received as well the pain in our Lord's left shoulder, which the mystics say was most painful of all. She was crippled. She was bedridden. Food and drink were torture for her. If she ate or drank, she suffered terribly. But if she did not, she endured hunger and thirst. There were misunderstandings, and the clergy who were supposed to take care of her and bring her weekly communion or offer mass for her sometimes didn't come, and all of the rest. When I was growing up, I remember we had her biography upstairs in the dorm where all the boys slept, and that may have been because there was an aunt, Aunt Rose, in the family who was an invalid. My grandparents took care of her. But it was when I was a priest that I got to know Little Rose. My brother married a girl from an Italian-American background, and her parents had some terrible cross in their life. I think maybe the death of a child. And perhaps they blamed God, and they stopped going to Mass. But the mother would go from time to time to a chapel someone had set up in Detroit to honor Little Rose Farron. I remember talking to her about that at family gatherings, and that once she gave me a box full of badges and little devotional leaflets for Little Rose. Well, she grew sick, the mother did, and she was in the hospital, and I asked my sister-in-law if her mom would like to see a priest and receive the sacraments. She said she was sure she would, but that her father was violently opposed to the idea. Sometimes it's superstition or fear. Well, I arranged to go, and I remember as my brother and sister-in-law were driving me to the hospital, I prayed to Little Rose if it was God's will for this lady to receive the sacraments. I had no idea what would happen. I go up to the floor, enter into the room, and the husband's gone. He's on a break. And so I begin talking to this lady, to Mrs. Renna, and the husband comes back in the room. He sees me. He's furious. He shouts, "No, don't!" as though I was going to hurt his wife. So I said, "Well, let's ask her." And she's got a tube down her throat. She can't speak, but eloquently, with her eyes, she said yes. She wanted a priest. So the husband left in disgust, and I gave her the last rites. Later on, I arranged with the family if they would wait. I was consecrated a bishop, and I was on a missionary trip to Mexico. I would do the funeral. And so imagine that. This lady hadn't been to church for years and years, and she received last rites and burial from a bishop. In all those years since, I have to say, I never thought too much about Little Rose Farron. But someone gave me a little badge with a relic of her, and I've always kept it in my carry-on and my missionary trips all around the world. A few weeks ago in Milwaukee, to confirm, I was casting about for a prayer for the confirmands to say at benediction Friday night. And I opened a book with Father Chicada's name in it, and it had a badge and a prayer leaflet as a bookmarker. So I found my prayer, didn't think anything more of it. But the next day, as I was vesting for Mass, there amongst the vestments on the sacristy table was that badge of Little Rose, her picture. Again, I didn't think anything of it. I just set it aside and finished my vesting. The next day, we had our Mass and confirmation. It was beautiful, but sort of a heavy day because I hadn't been there since all of the sad events occurred to us last fall, our difficulties, and there were a lot of questions, and some people wanted, of course, to talk about those things, and I still can't to this day without a certain sadness creeping over my soul. So that night, I was looking for a good book to read, I suppose for some distraction. I like to go to bed reading, fall asleep that way. And I'm looking around, and Father McGuire has a book, several books on the piano bench. And at the top was this book, Crucified with Christ by Father Kramer. And I'm looking through to read a bit about John of the Cross, about Catherine of Siena. And then I do what they tell you you should always do when you look at a book. I look at the index. And there I see American stigmatist, Marie Rose Farron. And I think, that's the very thing. So I take the book with me, and I start to read. And how do you think the priest starts his chapter on Little Rose? Why, by telling the story of an Irish-American bishop in conflict with the foreign group living in his diocese over the question of schools and parish administration. He wanted to open English high schools, and the poor French thought they had all they could do just to have their French-American parish parochial schools for the elementary grades. Finally, the people were pitted against the priests and the bishop. It escalated. They began publishing bitter attacks on the bishop. They published a paper called the Sentinelle. They're called the Sentinelists. And some of them split off and started their own church. There was a schism. The bishop excommunicated 50 or 60 of the ringleaders, but he was heartbroken to do so. And he went to see the mystic to beg her with tears to offer her sufferings, herself as a living holocaust, for the restoration of peace in the Diocese of Providence, Rhode Island. Little Rose recognized in the bishop, she says, a good heart. And she willingly consented. It will be my mission, she promised, to pray for their return. Do we pray for the return of our fallen away? Well, she did. And calm began to settle slowly over the battlefield. One victim soul made the difference. Take away my speech, she prayed. Take my eyes, take my mind, take everything I love and cherish. I am ready to suffer until the last one is converted. One by one, the 56 rebels came back to the bishop and begged for absolution, which he willingly gave. This affair will bear good fruit on both sides. And with Jesus I rejoice because of it, Little Rose said. Almost the words of the Sacred Heart in the Gospel today. The woman rejoicing, calling upon her neighbors to be glad with her, because I found that soul which was lost. Victim souls. Ever think of them? Such suffering. The wounds of Christ. Her eyes filled with blood on Fridays. As the crucifixion was reenacted, her wounds bled. There was even the sound of bones being pulled out of their sockets and muscles torn. Off-putting, at the least, for us. Some might find that rather ghoulish. Even amongst those of our own religion, a certain revulsion or rejection could be possible reactions to such a story. But pain is everywhere. And anything that she suffered, you could find it someplace today on the face of the earth. Pain is not so rare, is it? Your time of suffering will come. As a matter of fact, you've already had some in your life. And the only question is, Why waste it? Will it only weigh us down, stuck in some web of sadness or sin, waiting for the devil to come and consume us, when it could have been offered up, O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, offered up perhaps for some soul who's been caught on the web? Little Rose, our American Padre Pio and Little Flower and Catherine of Siena, because they say her face resembled Jesus when she suffered. Know her. Ask her help. If you need a miracle today, ask her intercession. I'm sure she'd be willing to help you too. Every soul has a price, Bishop Sheen famously once remarked. And some of you are at Mass today only because someone else, a parent perhaps, a priest, some anonymous parishioner, has picked up what you owed and paid it down, your debt. Are you going to do something with that pain? Jesus asks, be generous with the Sacred Heart. For after you have suffered just a little, he himself will perfect you and confirm you and establish you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.